Hunting, Camping, and Fishing Show, presented by Northwest Iowa Outdoors, the region's number one outdoor entertainment multimedia outlet. Live from the KSCJ studios in Sioux City, the phone lines are wide open. Call 239-2101 right now with your questions or comments.
Good morning, everybody. The show is brought to us by the City of Kingsley, Small Town Sportsman in Kingsley, Dirt Road Design and Screen Printing in Kingsley, The Shooting Shop in Anthon, Iowa, the Fireside Steakhouse and Lounge in Anthon, the Plymouth County Conservation Board, Skyline Lodge in Perrault Falls, Ontario, Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors in Milford, Iowa, Stands Bay in Milford, and Midwestern Land and Auction in Mapleton, Iowa. Well, Thanksgiving's behind us. There was a news story out of Virginia that I thought was kind of cool, you know, pertaining to Virginia, where a Virginia Thanksgiving tradition was carried out once again. Governor Ralph Northam hosted leaders of some of the Commonwealth's Native American tribes at the Executive Mansion for the 342nd Annual Tax Tribute. And I guess the ceremony dates back to 1677, when an agreement was made with the Native Americans allowing them to provide fresh wild game to the colonial government as an alternative to paying taxes. And they showed it on the news. They had these Indians, you know, with a stick on their each on their shoulders with a deer strapped to it, toting the dead deer into the I don't know what it, if it was the governor's mansion or the or where it was, but or their Senate chambers or something. But it was
Northam and Brownface.
You know, he probably should have been Redface. Yeah, he probably should have put some like rouge on him, make him look more Native American, and then the libtards could have wigged out him on that. But anyway, I didn't hear anything about that from the liberals and stuff about these guys paying their taxes with these dead deer instead of using money. You'd think that'd be the sort of thing that would upset them.
Yeah, especially since it's been going on for 342 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Will the carnage never end? Probably not, because it's a pretty neat deal. It'd be kind of cool if they did something like that here. You know, but, you know, the closest thing we'd ever get would be the state of South Dakota. I mean, their governor there, I think she might be open to something like that. I mean, she did pay rednecks all summer to trap raccoons and stuff. You don't hear anything about that in the news either, where taxpayer dollars went to that mass carnage. But anyway, it seemed to have helped, because the pheasant numbers there in South Dakota, they're talking about how they're, you know, have really, really spiked because of getting rid of those nest predators through the summer. So, I don't know. I think it was a good deal. You know, they use current animal pelts and stuff for currency in colonial America, too. Pretty much beaver pelts, what drove the colonial, I would call it the economy. And oftentimes they would trade pelts instead of using actual money. But my question is, were squirrel pelts ever used as currency? And it's a simple yes or no. If squirrel pelts were ever used as currency. And the number there is 239-2101. And up for grabs in the trivia pack, what do we got? We got the highly coveted Second Amendment copper coin. And we got something from your prepper's closet on this, Scott?
Yeah, depending on my mood today, it'll be a can of Spam or an MRE.
But not the teriyaki Spam. I think you took all them home, didn't you?
No, I still got one left, but I'm not sure what flavor it is. I'll have to check.
Yeah. We're getting a call there. But anyway, we're looking for, were squirrel pelts ever used as currency? And, well, all three lines are loaded up there. So, events going around in the area. Let's see. January 18th, Hillview Recreation Area up there is going to have their one of their Becoming Outdoors Family programs. And this is their Winter Fun Day. And they do ask for $5 per person, and they want you to pre-register. You can call Victoria at 712-947-4270 and get signed up for that. And the activities are going to start at 2 p.m. and last a couple hours. And they're going to have different events set up around the park that you'll hike from one to the other. And they will give you basic instruction on enjoying the outdoors and camping. These programs are pretty good that they put on up there. They usually have a couple, three throughout the year. And even if you're experienced outdoorsmen or campers, you can still learn from these programs because you never really stop learning about stuff. And then you pick up different ideas from other people. During the break today, we're going to make the drawing for the 2019 Heritage Rough Rider revolver that we chiseled out of the shooting shop in Anthon. And we'll make that drawing during the break and announce it shortly after. You know, gang activity here in the U.S., it's kind of rampant at sometimes. And then everybody seems to be, you know, you'll see it. You drive by the bridges and you'll see, you know, where the gang people tag it or the railroad cars or the, you know, you'll see it in the public restrooms around town. But this kind of takes that type of activity to the extreme. There was a video that was released by CNN that showed a Russian polar bear with the large letter T-34 spray painted on black paint on its sides. And the film was pretty good because the bear's walking around on the ice and you can clearly see the T-34 painted on it. And the article calls it graffiti. And, you know, all I know is if that was actual graffiti, I mean, it looked more like they marked it for the environmentalist or the naturalist or whatever to track the bear across the ice, you know, to track movement, because it's a lot easier to see a giant T-34 painted on a bear from a distance than it would be to isolate the ear tag and try to figure out which bear you actually have. But the article's calling it graffiti, and all I know, if that is actual graffiti, those Russian teens, they must be tough bastards to go out and tag a polar bear. I can't imagine anything more dangerous than doing that than maybe being here and tagging the train while it's, you know, while it's going down the track. But I mean, who in the hell is going to go out up in the north there? I mean, I suppose the Russian teens get loaded up on vodka and boom, hey, there's a polar bear. Let's tag that sucker. Yeah, I don't think so. But anyway.
Well, like tipping cows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they do there. I don't know. Maybe T-34 is like a gang there in Russia instead of like MS-13 here. And that might be. I didn't look into that.
Well, a T-34 used to be a Russian tank.
Did it?
During World War II.
Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe it's old guys tagging bears out of nostalgia.
Could be.
Because the Russians in World War II, they were tough buggers too. But anyway, but the article can't help but, because it was released by CNN, you know, that stands for, I think, Clearly Not News or the Clinton News Network, something like that. But anyway, but they're claiming the loss of ice due to climate crisis is the greatest threat to polar bear survival, but not the tagging. Tagging's fine. Well maybe. But they're saying that tagging that bear like that poses a threat to the species in an already decline because the bear will not be able to hunt unnoticed. And I can imagine a seal sitting on the ice and it kind of catches something out of the corner of its eye and it turns and it's like, oh, geez, I thought I saw a bear, but I guess it's just a railroad train. And go about his business and the bear comes up and whacks him. I don't know. Is it like the seal going to look at it and go, oh, geez, maybe it might give the bear an advantage. Maybe the bear did it itself because the seal will be sitting there scratching his head wondering, who in the heck would tag a polar bear? I don't know. But anyway, and then they had to go on and actually blame they don't call it global warming anymore. Global warming didn't catch root. So then they changed it to climate change. And now they're that didn't catch on. Now they're on to the climate catastrophe. And it's like it's a catastrophe now. And it's like, oh, my God, nobody can avoid that now. Anyway, hey, did we get a winner on the trivia or we got a?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. The guy actually called in to tell us about the crash on I-29.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you want to play the trivia contest? He said, sure. Bruce Kelly of Dakota Dunes, yeah, he won. And included in today's prize package will be a, vegetable sausage penny with crumbles and spicy tomato sauce MRE.
Ooh, that sounds good. I know those cake things in those MREs is actually pretty good. Almost always. They're almost always pretty good. But yeah, they did. In the Middle Ages in Russia, they used squirrel pelts as a currency. And then they also used the claws and the snouts for pocket change. So it's like in the Middle Ages, you go to get your bottle of vodka and it'd be like, well, that'll be a squirrel pelt and two snouts. And, you know, and you hand him three claws and he gives you a snout back. I mean, I don't know what the breakdown was. How many claws per pelt? I don't know.
Yeah, use what you got.
Well, it is. I wonder if they had any squirrels running around with T-34 tagged on them back in the Middle Ages. Probably not, because they didn't have spray paint. I don't know. How did the thugs back then tag stuff? I suppose they'd have to use like ashes out of the fireplace or something to tag things. They didn't have spray paint.
Didn't have spray paint, no.
And they didn't have trains. Obviously, they would have to tag polar bears. That's probably where it started. And it's just a long, long tradition, like paying for your taxes in Virginia with a dead deer.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, let's go ahead and take our break, and we're going to draw the winners for the Heritage Rough Rider during the break, and we'll be right back.
All right, 1360 94.9 KSCJ.
The 2019 NAIA Women's Volleyball National Championship returns to the Tyson Event Center, Fleet Farm Arena, December 3rd through 7th, presented by Marriott South Sioux City Riverfront. Sioux City will host the top 32 volleyball teams from around the country in hopes of winning a national title. Don't miss 5 days of volleyball action right here in Sioux City. Single day, pole play, and full tournament tickets are available online at TysonCenter.com or by visiting the Prime Bank box office. The NAIA Women's Volleyball National Championship at the Tyson Event Center, December 3rd through the 7th, presented by Marriott South Sioux City Riverfront and welcomed by the Sioux City Sports Commission, Baumgars, Prime Bank, Riverside Technologies, Sioux Gateway Airport, Thompson Dean Drug, Shields, and the City of Sioux City. Experience all the action of the 2019 NAIA Women's Volleyball National Championship at the Tyson Event Center, December 3rd through the 7th. Find out more at TysonCenter.com.
The holiday shopping season is underway. Let me ask you a question. Will you purchase your gifts from an online, out-of-state e-commerce company, or will you support our local retailers right here in our community? Hi, I'm Dennis Bullock, General Manager with Powell Broadcasting. Where you choose to shop will have a tremendous impact on our community. Buy from our local businesses, the taxes stay here to support the things we enjoy. When is the last time Amazon, Wayfair, or any other e-commerce company sponsored any of our local ball teams, clubs, organizations, supported community events, or donated to a worthy local nonprofit? They don't. Online, out-of-state companies give very little, if any, back, and don't create local jobs. The e-commerce companies are desperately trying to take another brick out of our local brick-and-mortar stores. This holiday shopping season, show your support and shop local. All of us at Powell Broadcasting are wishing you a very happy holiday season, and we thank you for supporting our local retailers.
Big John. Big John.
Every morning at the mine, you can see
it. Well, let's see if I turn the mic on, they'll hear me better. Well, we drew for the winners, and I'll tell you what, this is probably the greatest giveaway ever in the history of this station. I don't think anybody's ever bribed listeners to, you know, with giving away firearms. I think it's a pretty spectacular deal. Anyway, our third place drawing for the custom duck call made by J&R's Custom Woodworking in Bronson, Iowa, is Richard Wills of Sioux City. The winner of the brick of 22 ammo donated by the shooting shop in Anthon was Brian Weisler of Sioux City. And the winner of the Heritage Rough Rider, there again, chiseled out of the shooting shop in Anthon, Iowa, is Travis Anderson of Sergeant Bluff. And these prizes are all available down at the shooting shop in Anthon. And you're going to have to make contact with Bob at what is his number? 251-1510, I believe.
That is correct.
Yeah, but if you can't get down there during normal business hours, you can just call Bob at that number, and he'll make arrangements to have somebody over there at the shop and get you in and get it taken care of. And speaking of Bob, we do have Bob on the line. Bob Farmer with the shooting shop in Anthon. Good morning, Bob.
How you doing today, John?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, we gave away your revolver this morning. A long process. I hope you still have it and didn't sell the damn thing, because otherwise I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I got it. That's a pretty exciting day.
It is. And you know what? That's those revolvers are pretty amazing. I mean, they're not an expensive revolver, but boy, they sure are. I mean, how many of them? You've sold hundreds of them, I think. And I don't know. As far as getting them back into the shop, I think we had one come back in, 5 years?
Yeah, I don't even remember that, but they're a really good product for the money. People, they love them because they're affordable and they work. That's what matters.
Yeah, they really do. And they're, I don't know, they're tremendous value. That's for sure. Down there at the shooting shop, I was down there the other day. I tell your customers that the gunsmith is finally making his way back down there. About time the worthless bastard got back to work, right?
Yeah, that's fine. We're happy to have you.
But anyway, we are back down there and we're getting some of the guns turned out. Kind of apologize for the time frame, but there was circumstances out of our control. But they seem to be back under the control, and we do thank the people that have been patient with us, don't we, Bob?
You bet. We've got great customers, and we try to provide a service that not a lot of people do anymore, and we do our best at it, and I think we do a very good job of it.
Oh, absolutely. As far as rifles in the shop, the other day I was looking, and Weatherby had recently bolted from California. I suppose they got tired of getting taxed the hell out of them, and they moved to Wyoming and opened a plant, and some of the new Wyoming-made Weatherby rifles are on the market, and you've had some of them in there at the shop. What are your thoughts on those?
You bet. I've had several of them. I think they stepped up their game. This market is a very tough market these days. And I think Weatherby has stepped up to the challenge. They went to Sheridan, probably a more friendly corporate environment, I would guess, for them. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it. The people out there love firearms just like they do here, and it's a heck of a product. I've got a couple of them right now on the shelf, and I bought one for myself. I bought one of the Mark V's and a 240 Weatherby Magnum, and it's a beautiful gun, man. I'm excited about shooting it. I haven't shot it yet.
Oh, and that's what's nice about these new Weatherby rifles. Used to be, if you wanted one of the Weatherby calibers, you either had to buy the high-end Weatherby rifle, which is all they made. You know, you're talking a few $1,000s, or you had to have a custom a rifle custom made. But now Weatherby has kind of a lower end rifle, not lower quality, but just a lower finish, and you'd be able to get into those Weatherby calibers without really mortgaging the farm.
You bet. They've got entry level rifles just like all the other companies. And the quality is there. I mean, the machining is there. They offer a lot of good calibers. They have a great trigger in them. I think they've got a 1-inch guarantee on their a group guarantee on their firearms, and it's a great product. I'm excited about selling them again.
Yeah, it is too. I mean, the inside, they look the same. It's just on the outside, the finish isn't quite as polished, but looks like the rifles are every bit the same as they always were. You've got the new King, you still got the new Colt King Cobra revolvers in store there, or did you sell all those?
I don't have any Cobras right now. I've had quite a few in the past. I don't think I have one right now in the inventory.
What did you think of the new Colts? You know, they kind of reintroduced it or reborn, and boy, they're not like the Pythons, but they're still good serviceable revolvers.
You bet. They're a really high-end revolver. I mean, they claim that the trigger is better than the Python, which is debatable. I mean, the Python is probably the best revolver of all time, but it's a really good trigger on it. It's designed different. Mechanically, it's not the same. That's why they were able to afford to do it. But it's a good revolver.
Yeah, one of the problems with I think why they discontinued like the Diamondback and the Python, all their other snake guns, was the cost of manufacturing. And the problem is those things were a nightmare to time because they had that one rebar, and they called it a rebound bar, and all of the timing of the revolver revolved around that one part and like four different angles on it, and it was a nightmare to time them. But I would imagine with that being said, it was really cost effective as far as the hand fitting to get those revolvers on the market.
You bet. I mean, you know, as well as anybody, but that the triggers in them were very complex. There are probably nobody else has ever made a trigger like it, but the cost of manufacturing was tremendous, I'm sure. And that's probably why they made that decision.
They just weren't selling them. It's all cost, and that's what drives a lot of these companies.
You bet. It comes down to the dollar and trying to make a better product if they can, and this wasn't very efficient, I don't think.
Well, and then, yeah, because, well, you know, the dollar driving it, that's the Ruger has that new Wrangler revolver out. It's a 22 action, 22 caliber single action revolver, similar to their single six, but it's an alloy. And that was kind of why Ruger come out with those. And you had a couple of them down there too. Those are kind of neat.
Oh yeah, they're a good gun. They're trying to attack that same market that the Heritage are in, and it's a big market. I mean, it's affordable. They shoot well for somebody that doesn't want to spend a ton of money, but they want a gun that works every day. That's a good option. They're affordable and they're a good gun.
They run a little bit more than the Heritage, I think, on the retail or suggested retail, but you know,
that's a little bit more money.
Well, and then some people, you know, they kind of put a knock on that Heritage because they are an inexpensive revolver, and you know, but. Like I say, the things work well.
You bet. We never get them back in to work on there. People who buy them are happy.
And the Henry single shot shotguns, you've got to be on what, your fourth or fifth shipment of those? I mean, I haven't seen them in any other shops. What's going on? How come you're the only one that can find those, Bob?
Well, I don't know if I'm the only one that has, but I've had quite a few of them, and the people like them. I mean, the Henry speaks for itself. I mean, the looks, they shoot well, and they came out with this design. They're on top of their game. The single shot shotgun is a new classic. I mean, people are buying it just because they love the looks of the Golden Boy, and this is kind of the shotgun version of it, and they want them.
Well, your only options, your options today are buy a used one, or buy one of those, you know, the new Henry single shot shotguns, or you buy a like those Rossi single shot shotguns that barely work.
Exactly. I mean, the quality is there. They make a good gun. And it looks beautiful. You can get them in blue versions, too, that are less money. If you're just looking for a really good quality shooting shotgun, or you can go either way. I mean, they give you good options.
Well, great shotguns, too, for kids to get introduced into it, because it's very easy to verify 100% that the gun's unloaded before they climb fences or get in vehicles and stuff like that. And you know what? With the one shot, it makes you concentrate a little bit better.
You betcha.
So anyway, what else you got going on down there? Ammo on sale all fall, I assume?
Yeah, we've had a big run. We still sell a lot of the upper-end guns, the Sauers and the Mausers. People love the high-quality, beautiful guns. I mean, they've got great wood on them. The Sauers and the Mauser both make a good synthetic stock gun also. They shoot amazing. The triggers are second to none. They're a little bit more money, but boy, when you look at the end result. If you're looking for a gun that you can have for the rest of your life, and you're going to want one gun, pick out your caliber and take this gun and run. It'll last your lifetime. It'll be very, very good quality.
Or it'd be kind of impossible to wear them out, the average shooter, for sure. Well, we got about, I guess we got no time left. Hey, thanks for joining us, Bob. And thanks again for donating the revolver and that brick of ammo for that spectacular giveaway we had this year.
You bet. Come down and see us at the fireside too, John. We got a big deal going down there.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
CBS News Update. This morning, the rare case of the U.S. and Iran.